Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. While the media has been dominated this week by talk of President Trump's besieged White House, members of the Senate have slowly been moving forward with their plan to replace the Affordable Care Act. Republicans in the House pushed through the American Health Care Act earlier this month without the Congressional Budget Office first scoring the bill. Critics worry the rush to replace Obamacare with the Republicans' AHCA may ultimately reduce benefits and leave millions uninsured. News and Views producer Clayton Hinkle recently caught up with two doctors demanding the U.S. Senate slow down and listen.
Some of the most vocal critics of the American Health Care Act, also known as Trump Care, have been physicians, concerned about what this plan will mean for their patients moving forward. We're going to hear from a couple of those physicians, starting first with Dr. Charles Vanderhorst, who we caught up with protesting outside the federal building in Raleigh.
I'm a physician and an emeritus professor of medicine at University of North Carolina School of Medicine. And I'm here at this protest representing my patients. Even though I'm semi-retired, I continue to volunteer at the free clinic here in Raleigh at Urban Ministries. And the bulk of our patients are patients who would have been covered if we had expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. I'm here because I'm very, very concerned about the bill, that the House bill that they passed. The irony is, of course, is that they pass this bill, which will toss 20 million Americans off of health insurance, and they exempted congressmen from being denied health care. There are several lies about this. They say it protects people with pre-existing conditions. That is absolutely not true. They say that it won't harm the elderly. That's not true either. Currently, the Affordable Care Act bases its premium subsidies that it helps people, particularly for seniors age 50 to 64 prior to getting Medicare. It protects them by basing the premium on their income. That is changed with this, and the premiums for those folks will go up substantially. It also will cut Medicaid dramatically by making it block grants to the state and limiting the funding to the 2016 levels. So as costs go up, healthcare costs go up, that means fewer and fewer people will be covered by the Medicaid expansion. They say, well, they protected people by allowing states to opt out of the forcing insurance companies to cover people with pre-existing conditions by giving them, adding $8 billion to the bill, the original bill. That will not cover them. There's lots of evidence that these high-risk pools do not work at all and actually end up increasing premiums. So the bottom line on this is that my wife and I are both physicians. We're true one percenters. We're going to get a huge tax decrease, whereas my patients will be priced out of having insurance, and that'll increase the death rate in the United States and will be a disaster for the U.S. economy. And one final thing, Warren Buffett, the billionaire, there was a great story in today's New York Times, and he pointed out that what was bankrupting U.S. business was not the taxes, which are at a lowest point of the national gross domestic product almost ever, less than 2%, but what would bankrupt them was the increasing costs of health care in the United States. And that, not the cost of insurance, but the increasing costs. And that's what's a huge burden on business in the United States. So if we kept the Affordable Care Act, improved it, then we would end up with lower health care costs.
Right now, there are a lot of people who are thinking, well, the House pushed this through very quickly. Maybe the Senate will fix it. You don't have a lot of confidence that the Senate's going to make this bill better.
No, I don't. And the reason I don't is because I look to what happened in North Carolina, is that we always hope that people won't give in to their worst tendencies. And in North Carolina, we saw that our former governor, Governor McCrory, and Phil Berger, and actually Senator Tillis, who was the Speaker of our House, together went to the lowest common denominator in denying people health care, in denying them voting rights, and cutting environmental protections. So they essentially ran the table once they had control of the legislature and the governor's office. There's no reason to think that that's not going to happen now. The Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And so far we've seen that they will try to get rid of any protections for the working poor, for the elderly, and they were going to harm Medicare and hurt Americans. So I would not be confident that the Senate is going to do the right thing at all.
You work in a free clinic, but obviously there are a lot of people who are covered through their employer right now, and they may be listening to us, and they're saying, well, I'm covered, and my health care's fine. Maybe this is a lot about nothing.
Well, a lot of companies have started dropping health insurance for their employees. So, yes, if you're working for SAS or IBM, you have your health insurance. But if you're not, small businesses, et cetera, they've been dropping coverage for their employees. And then what are you going to do? If you have a pre-existing condition, so if you have a back injury, if you have diabetes, if you have high blood pressure, if you've had a stroke, if you've had breast cancer, all those things are pre-existing conditions. And under the Republican bill, if you get pregnant, that's considered a pre-existing condition. None of those are going to be covered. I think, you know, Martin Luther King had a great comment in his letter from a Birmingham jail, in which he said, we're all tied together in this big fabric of mutuality. And if we don't protect everybody, then the next time it's going to hurt us, because the next time they're going to come after your insurance as well.
And we want to bring another physician into the conversation now to share her thoughts on the Republican plan for replacing the Affordable Care Act.
My name is Erica Pettigrew. I am a primary care physician. I'm also the medical director of Orange County Health Department, Family Medicine and Preventive Medicine.
So tell me a little bit about why you're here at the Federal Building. What brings you out to talk about health care today?
This is a moral issue. This is a nonpartisan issue. I am sick and tired of my patients not having the care and the access to the care that they need. And so I'm here to represent them, to bring their voice to the Federal Building, to make sure that our elected officials are listening to these patients who are hardworking people who can't afford health care. And the ACA is a great step in the right direction. And the ACHA is moving us backwards, and we cannot have that.
We spent a lot of time learning about the Affordable Care Act. We really don't know what's going to be in the Republicans' American Health Care Act, do we?
I've read prior versions of it. I haven't been able to see whatever the current plan is, but I know that if it has to do with repealing parts of the ACA, then we're definitely moving in the wrong direction.
One of the worries is what this will do with pre-existing conditions that many people who have things like diabetes, heart disease, may find themselves uncovered under this new plan. How would this impact possibly the patients you see?
Right. This is a huge issue, and a lot of patients are scared. One thing that I think a lot of us have forgotten is back before the ACA, patients would actually beg doctors not to order certain tests because they were afraid that it might uncover a condition and then make them ineligible for insurance in the future. And I'm really afraid that we're going to go back to that. We're going to have patients who are scared to have their blood checked for cholesterol and not want to know if they have diabetes because it might affect whether they can get health insurance. And that's absolutely ridiculous.
We're hearing a lot of folks come up upon us saying, do your job. They want the Senate, I imagine, to spend more time on this plan than the House did.
Yes, I would be happy to lend the voice of my patients to Senator Tillis, Senator Burr. I want to do anything that I can to help them move our constituents forward in North Carolina with their access to health care and certainly not go backwards.
The Republican plan also, as I understand it, means that states do not have to expand Medicaid. North Carolina has been fighting for a number of years for Medicaid expansion. How would Medicaid expansion obviously help the patients that you're seeing?
Medicaid expansion would definitely help my patient population. I have plenty of patients who are hardworking who just don't qualify for Medicaid, and so they have no health insurance whatsoever. And I need to order tests for them. They need to have, let's say, a mammogram or an ultrasound for a suspicious breast lump, and they are trying to scrape together dollars so that they can afford a test that costs hundreds of dollars, and they just can't. And if we had Medicaid expansion, then these hardworking people could actually get access to health care.
What's the problem with letting states figured this out for themselves. I know much of the plan now would let the states decide pre-existing conditions. It would let the states sort of parcel out Medicaid money. Why not let each individual state decide what health care plan they want?
I know that that sounds like a good idea. I actually was practicing in Oregon for years before I moved back to North Carolina, and I can say that it's heartbreaking for me to see the exact same patient in front of me in North Carolina who cannot get access to care simply because of the zip code or the state that he or she lives in, whereas if they were in another state like Oregon, they would have access to care, and that's just not American. We need to make sure that everybody has access.
And finally, if you could speak to Senator Burr, Senator Tillis today, what would you tell them?
I would ask them to call us in the medical community. We want to help. We want to make sure that everybody's lives are better in North Carolina. And so please ask the medical professionals for assistance on this bill as they move forward.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, Director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.